First tonight to Strandhill Surf Folk. This is a new exhibition devised by local photographer Mark Capilitan, and it's a collection of portrait images of the local surfing community, from those who've been on the water since the 1960s through to today. The exhibition opened this week at the National Surf Centre in Strandhill, and we'll hear from the man behind it, Mark Capilitan, shortly. But first, we spent a little time with one of the surfers featured in the exhibition. Tom Hickey has been surfing since the early 70s, but in this part of the world, he's probably even better known for his prowess in another sport. When I think of the name Tom Hickey, I think straight away of basketball, not surfing. Just remind me, first of all, of your own basketball background.
Well, Austin, basketball was always my number one sport through school. I went to school in Dundalk, in boarding school, the Marist Fathers in Dundalk. And there was a very good basketball coach there, great basketball ethos. Played with Leinster and then underage internationals, under 15, under 18. But my grounding and my home was Sligo All-Stars, originally with Tom O'Brien, and then playing alongside people like Jerry Monaghan, Anthony Cronley, who has passed now, John McGowan, who has passed as well, and all the Sligo All-Stars crew right the way through the years. And then when I went to college in England, I used to come home at Christmas and play National League games with them, and then go back again, and so on and so forth. And I was fortunate enough to make the Irish team and play for them in three separate pre-Olympic tournaments. So it's been a huge part of my life.
Well, I remember from my childhood, whether it was the Teeling Centre in Coluny, the Sligo Sports Complex, Tom Hickey was the local Sligo basketball star.
Well, I'll take your word for that. I suppose I was quite good. I was fortunate enough to be quite good, but I played alongside some great players. And like any team game, it's all about team. It's not about one person. It's the whole team playing together. And there are lots of basketball legends in Sligo.
You're 69. You've still been playing basketball up to quite recently.
Yes, I've been involved with the Masters program, which is over 40s, over 50s and over 60s. And I was playing with the over 65s up until a couple of years ago. But I'm fighting some injuries now at the moment, so hopefully when I get my hip done in the near future, I'll be playing over 70s once or twice more.
Okay, so no plan to retire?
Well, I've retired numerous times, but not if possible. If I can still manage to waddle up and down a basketball court and throw the ball at the basket a few times, it'll be worth it.
You always struck me as an intensely competitive player, whether it was playing for the All-Stars or for Ireland. And basketball, we know, is a team sport. So I'm trying to work out where surfing fits into the Tom Hickey picture.
Okay, well, that's a good question. Because I started surfing in... My first surf experience was in 1971 when I was a lifeguard in Bundoran with a fellow lifeguard from Strabane. We surfed in Rosnaula. And then the following year, I was fortunate enough to get a position in Strandhill alongside another surfing legend of Stan Burns and Ray Wesby, who passed recently, who was our lifeguard team we had started there. So surfing at that stage was just fun, something to do in Strandhill when we weren't busy or when we were off duty as lifeguards. But it developed into something different for me, because when I was at college, I went to college in London and was playing basketball at college there and then playing for Crystal Palace in the National League for a number of years. When I came home in the summertime, it was my downtime. So surfing was my way of not competing, basically, and not training so hard, just having fun and having the experience of being free in the water and expressing myself as and how I felt. Competitive surfing was never on my agenda. I did try a couple of competitions, and apart from being pretty rubbish, I found that it was taking the the freedom aspect and the just the the spiritual getting away from competition. Surfing is a competitive sport, and the competitive surfers are absolutely brilliant at their game, but I was getting my competition elsewhere.
Your day job was a PE teacher, and you brought your teaching talents into surfing.
Yes, I was a PE teacher. As I said, I trained in London. I came home and got a job in Scuil Críostánaí in Boyle, a wonderful school, and the staff I worked with and all the pupils that I had, they were absolutely fabulous. I loved it there. I was there for 24 and a half years, 25 years nearly, travelling up and down across the old Curlew Mountains. There was no bypass or no nice new road in my day.
You opened the first surf school in Strandhill.
We did in 1998. Initially it was a response to the tragic drownings in Strandhill. We just wanted to try and bring some positivity back to the beach area in Strandhill. So my wife Simone and I opened up Perfect Day Surf School. And even the name Perfect Day has got a huge relevance, because it was named after a very good friend of ours, Philip Douglas, who died tragically in an accident after coming home from his world tours. He fell down the stairs in his own house with his mother, Jean, who's passed now as well. But in memory of Philip, one of his phrases was, "It's a perfect day." So anytime we go surfing, say, "It's a perfect day, Tom." So we've named that, and although we've gotten rid of the surf school now and our surf shop, which was called Perfect Day, we've gotten rid of everything, but we didn't sell the name Perfect Day because it means too much to us.
You got a real kick out of teaching young people and not so young people, introducing them to the water, how to surf correctly, safely. You and Simone got a kick out of that.
We did, yes, absolutely. It was great. We've seen so many different people, as you say, young and old, famous and not so famous. One of our great famous surfers is Cian Egan, who took to surfing from just tried it out and has become an absolutely classic surfer now and absolutely loves the sport. But we've had all summer camps and children coming through over 24 years, which has been great for us. As you say, we tried to do it the correct way, teaching them how to approach the ocean, how to treat the sea with respect, how to treat other surfers with respect. And for the most part, I think we've done quite a good job.
So tell me about some of the spots you go surfing today. Where does Tom Hickey go? And just explain to me what surfing is about for you.
As I said earlier, surfing to me is a way of expressing myself. It's an absolute pleasure to be in the ocean and to be floundering around trying to catch waves at this stage of my life. But the thing about surfing is, and any surfer will tell you this, that if you could be out in the water for an hour, hour and a half, not catch a single wave, and then you catch one nice wave and you come in with a smile on your face and say, "That was a great day." So now that Simone and I have our camper van, we get away most weekends, and I like to go to places where there aren't crowds, meet up with some friends, and we just have fun, have surf, have a barbecue, enjoy the sunsets.
Being alone out on the waves in the water on the coast of Ireland, Tom, sounds so different to the noise, the atmosphere, the sweat of a basketball arena.
It certainly is, but that's the beauty of it. You can in the day I could switch on to a basketball court and give it 110%, and as you say, come off dripping in sweat, and good game or bad game, win or loss. Here, you put on your wetsuit, you get your board, and you paddle out, and you're alone with the ocean and your thoughts.
When local photographer Mark Pillerton approached you to ask if he could take your picture as one of the Strandhill surf folk, what was your feeling about that?
Initially, I didn't realise what Mark was actually doing. But when he explained everything, I thought it was a fabulous idea, and what a great project that he's put together. I was privileged, to say the least. Like, I'm 70 years of age this summer, and to be asked by a young photographer would I be part of his exhibition was an absolute privilege for me. The area of Strandhill we're at now is called the Blue Rock, and it's at the northern end of the beach. And ironically, when we were lifeguards here in the 70s, Stan, Ray and myself and others, we never surfed this side of the beach. It was too far from the main beach. We never really thought of the wave being as classic as it is until we discovered what it was like. Now it's probably the best wave in Strandhill, or one of the best. Strandhill is what's called a multiple peak beach. So there's different waves break at different places along the beach, different stages of the tide. But the Blue Rock wave is a classic right-hander on its day. And it's the place to be.
What's the best moment you've had on a surfboard throughout your life, would you say? Is there a particular wave or a day or a moment that you just said, yeah, that was class?
I've been fortunate enough to be in Hawaii a number of times with Simone and my son at one stage. And we've got some good friends there who've brought us to some nice Hawaiian quieter places. We haven't had the ability to surf any of the main places like Pipeline or Sunset Beach, but we've been to a few nice quieter reefs that have been warm water, warm air and warm people. So, but Ireland is my home. I've had some of the best surfs of my life here in Strandhill and other places around the country. It's a great surf community.
I get the impression, finally, Tom, listening to you, that those moments of being on your own, the solitary moments, appeal to you when it comes to surfing from time to time.
They do, yes, totally. Now, I love to be with friends, but back in the day when we were surfing first and when we go to East Key back in the 70s, mid-70s, it would be crowded if there was six or eight people there. Now, if you go to East Key when the surf is breaking nicely, there could be 50, 60 people at one break, one part of the break. To me, since we've had our camper van, Simone and I get up and down the coastline finding little beaches that I never knew existed, with little 2-3 foot waves that an old guy can quietly paddle around and have a bit of fun on.
There might be an outside impression that surfing has been a niche sport. It's a certain community who surf, but you've seen the changes over the years and over the decades. It's a bigger community now.
It certainly is. One of the reasons we initially opened Perfect Day Surf School was to open the door to surfing to other people. At that time, there was a group of surfers and some travelling surfers, but if anybody wanted to try it, there was no way to have a go, basically, because nobody would lend their boards. So by opening the surf school, we gave the opportunity to the average person to come and try it. Some liked it, some hated it, and lots of people carried on surfing. It has changed. It has changed dramatically. It has turned into a multi-million euro industry. There are 4 or 5 schools now in Strandhill. I'm not sure how many, seeing that I'm out of the scene now. But each one of them making a living and bringing people on and running surf camps and developing Strandhill. Strandhill is booming. It's booming in lots of ways. The surf community is much bigger. It's too big for me. Let me on my own away with Simone and Alicia, and we go surfing quiet, nice quiet places.
I don't know if your basketball skills are in any way transferable to what you do on a surfboard, but what has surfing done for you on a personal level?
On a personal level, surfing has allowed me to be free, I suppose, to be free from pressures of life, to be free from pressures of finance, pressures of competition. Once I get into the water, I'm in my happy place.
Tom Hickey, former Sligo All-Stars player and Irish basketball international, and still a current surfing fanatic. I walk south along the Strandhill coastline to the village and head indoors and upstairs at the new National Surf Centre, where the local photographer behind the Strandhill Surf Folk exhibition is getting things ready.
My name is Mark Capilatan, and I'm a photographer from Sligo and living in Strandhill, and this is Strandhill's Surfolk exhibition.
Some of your photos are black and white, some are in colour. Why is that?
Mostly they're in black and white because portraits look good in black and white, and there's one wall in colour purely because when I got to shoot it, when I got to photograph it, the light was so good at almost near sunset, it would be an absolute shame to put it in black and white, even though it still works. But when you have that bit of colour, especially sunset light, bit of flare, it really brings out the image. It really pops, especially on a print when you see it in person.
So how many photos in this exhibition?
So we have about, I think it's 85 portraits, all individual, so all separate people.
How did you pick your surfers for this photography project?
I picked the first one. So portrait number one was Mark Walton. And after that, it quickly spiraled into whoever I could get, to the point where I was literally with my camera going up and down Strandhill car park, seeing surfers who were about to get changed and going to the water, or coming out and just going up and asking them straight away. And then I did eventually put a list together and started checking people off.
Where did the idea for Strandhill Surf Folk come from?
So the original idea was for me to just take portraits with no brief, do whatever I want on my terms in whatever light I wanted to shoot, which photographers are always looking for nice light. And I quickly spiraled into just getting as many people as I could. And that includes the older guys that have surfed here in the 60s, including the kids that are surfing today. So I tried to get as many as I could. And trust me, there's a lot more that I haven't got.
Did anybody say no?
Yeah, there's a couple of people that said no. Getting your portrait taken is quite a personal thing. Everyone has an opinion. Some people like it, some people don't, and that was always fine with me. At the start as well, I was pushing this on Instagram and nothing else. And there's a lot of people who don't like social media. So my thing was, if anyone says no, that's it, cool, no problem. I don't hold it against you, and I just move on to the next person. And, I've no problems with that at all.
Looking at some of the photos that you're putting up on the wall here, your subjects are surfers, but they're not all in a surfing mode when you took the photo.
Yeah, there's a mixture. Some people, yeah, they're in their full surf mode, whether they were 30 seconds after getting out of the water after a surf or 30 seconds before going into the water. They naturally have their wetsuits on. One or two have a board. But the majority of the portraits, they're in their normal clothes. Most people gave me time at some point, so not even around surfing. Everyone's different. Take Blaheen here. She's a yoga instructor. I did an hour of an actual yoga session on the beach with her. And then we got a few portraits afterwards. And there was a few other shoots that went like that as well, where people really gave me a good lot of time.
Okay, so you had an hour with someone like Blaheen. Others, not as much time.
Others, not as much time, no. The portraits range from, let's say, 30 seconds. I'm a surfer myself, so I know what it's like going into the water. You don't want to stop for anything. And I know what it's like coming out of the water. You get cold very quick. So those are the ones where I might have had only 30, 45 seconds. And then the likes of Blaheen, Kian Egan, many others gave me, half an hour, 45 minutes. Up to an hour. Some of them, I even went to their homes, inside their homes, and did it. Others, I did out the back of my own garden. Others, naturally, on the beach here in Strandhill. And then the furthest I think I went was Eastkey to get Gavin, just because he was there camping. So I figured, let's do it. Let's do it out there.
And from the surfers in your exhibition, have you shown them your finished work yet? Have they come back with any feedback to you?
Not really. Nobody has seen the actual prints yet, so it's or my selection of what I printed. Because with some of the portraits, I gave them a lot of images afterwards. But at the end of the day, I've kind of made the decision on what will hang on the walls.
Tell me a bit about your own background as a photographer, number one, and as a surfer, number two, and where the lines crisscross, so to speak.
Yeah, so as a photographer, I'm a professional photographer since 2002. I started as a junior photographer in the UK, working for a company called Sutton Motorsport Images. And we were a car racing motorsport photography agency. So I started as a junior, photographing touring cars, Formula 3. And then I worked my way up to become a senior Formula 1 photographer for a few seasons. So I would have covered, I guess, the Schumacher era going into the Fernando Alonso era with Renault. So that's where I learned everything, learned to deal with pressure and everything else.
So that took you around the world, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I went around the world. I've done all the races for a couple of seasons. And if I wasn't doing Formula 1, I was doing something else like Le Mans 24 Hours. Back when I covered Formula 1, there was unlimited testing, which meant when they weren't racing, they were testing. And I would generally have to do that as well. So it was almost weekly travel.
Any Formula 1 fan listening would probably think to his or herself, what a brilliant job. Why would you leave that?
Why do I leave that? It's the travel. The travel gets to you so much. I mean, I always boil it down to, you know, going to Melbourne is awesome. It's, you know, fantastic experience. But I was there for 5 days and I had to come back to Heathrow for 4 days and then go back out to Malaysia. And when you're doing that constantly, I always equate it to the dream job very quickly becomes a job. Fantastic one and great experience. But it was a travel ultimately that kind of sealed it for me.
And did Ireland call to you then?
Yeah, I mean, I was always going to come home at some point. So as soon as I finished the 2006 season, we moved back. We drove from England back home.
Okay. And did surfing have any part to play in the longing to come home?
I have to say no. I mean, when I was in school in Summerhill in the 90s, I was always interested in it. But living in town, in Strandhill at the time, seemed so far away. And my parents were not letting me out here to go surfing in the beach. So I always loved surfing, but just never did it. So when I finally moved home, it was time to try it. And I knew once I tried it, it was going to take a hold.
So just tell me about your background. You are Sligo born.
Yeah, I'm from Rathedmon, just in near Scullarsla in town. So that's born and bred. My dad was from the Philippines. And my mum is Irish, so that's where I get the name and the complexion, if you've seen me.
Where did your bug for surfing begin, would you say?
Yeah, again, as I said, I was interested in the 90s, but it was never allowed, pure and simple. I come from a swim background, though, so I'm always strong in the water. So as I said, when I moved back to Sligo from the UK, I was always going to try it, and I knew once I tried it, that was it. It was going to take hold, and it did. To the point where once I set up my own photography business, it allowed me a lot of flexibility to surf a lot during the week, usually when the water was quiet. So I just went from there.
So being in Strandhill enables you to mix two of your passions, photography with surfing. So maybe it's no surprise you devised this sort of an exhibition.
Yeah, it was probably going to come at some point, because like anything, you know, you become part of the community quite quickly, but it can take a while to get to know people. You see their faces all the time in the water, but sometimes you just don't know their names. And, you know, yourself, after 2 years, you can't ask someone their names when you've been saying hello to them. So this, to be honest, this is a great excuse to get to know people a little bit. You know, if I as long as I had, you know, 10 minutes or more, you get chatting to the people that you're taking pictures of, and you actually get to know them a little bit, which is really nice.
And it helps being a surfer. You kind of know the territory here and what you're after when you're asking them to pose for you.
Yeah, for sure. Being a surfer definitely helps doing this kind of portraiture, because I've seen other photographers around the world do something similar, but they're not necessarily surfers. So they might have a name themselves as a top photographer, which helps to get people. But if you're a surfer yourself, you're actually in the community. You kind of you're part of the community, so you can gel with the people. And as I said before, it's, when people said they didn't want to do it, I had no problems at all. No problems, so, yeah.
How would you describe this exhibition to a visitor from out of town?
I keep using the word community because it really is a showcase of the community of, you know, Strandhill and Sligo. Not everyone lives here in Strandhill, but everybody here has either surfed here or still does surf here in the water in Strandhill. So it really is, and it's a diverse community as well. You know, there's a lot of people from abroad who've moved here specifically to surf here, and now they operate businesses, you know, they have a family here. So I just keep using the word community, and it really is.
We're looking here at some of the black and white portraits of some of your subjects in this exhibition, Mark. And what strikes me is there might have been an outside impression that the surfing community is quite a niche community in Sligo. But I'm looking and I'm saying to myself, I didn't realise she surfed. I didn't realise he surfed. You have chefs, doctors, people from all walks of life and all ages.
Yeah, again, going back to the 90s when I was interested, and I knew some of the local guys, you know, David O'Donnell, Colin O'Hare's, surfers back then, they had they were kind of pigeonholed into, you know, late teens, and that was it. If you look around here, you're going to see every sort of profession, doctors, teachers, musicians, obviously surfers as well. And a lot of different age groups. So it ranges from the youngest being 8, right up to, let's just say, in their 70s. Surfers these days, it spans the whole generation, a multitude of generations. And it helps keep you young and fresh and just give you a little bit of respect for your environment. And it's always, no matter what's going on, if you go out there into the water and just be in the water, it just clears your head. For some reason, it just does. And I think when you see all the different faces, age groups, you'll just see that they're diverse kind of community that I keep going on about.
Who do you think this Strandhill Surffolk exhibition might appeal to?
I'm hoping it appeals to a broad range of people. Like you just said there, you've noticed people that you didn't know surf. So I'm hoping, you know, there'll be some people that definitely come across like that. But I'm also hoping the younger generation might look at some of these folks, or the older generation, and might even, you know, get to talking to them, because I always find the older generations have the best stories of surfing here in, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and what they had to do just to get out there. You know, surfing in jumpers, using dog leashes as leg ropes. We now have the luxury of, you know, going into a shop and just buying whatever we want. Them guys didn't have that. And there was only a handful of them as well. So I'm hopeful, as I said, the younger generation that are up and coming, and we have some real good young surfers in the area, that they just might get a bit of, not respect, because they're very respectful in the water, but just dig out the history of the, you know, the original Strandhill surfers. Because there's a lot of good stories and a lot of history.
What's going to happen to these photos, Mark, when the exhibition draws to a close?
Yeah, so with this exhibition, from the very start, because of the subject, you know, the individual portraits, I knew it wasn't going to be a profit-making exhibition. So what I thought about doing, and what I'm going to do, is I'm going to offer all the images for sale for a nominal fee, simple fee at €20, but 100% of all those sales will go to RNLI Sligo Bay Lifeboat across the bay in Ross's Point. So hopefully friends or family mostly, hopefully, will one, see the images, like it, and then buy it. But knowing that, you know, the proceeds are all going to a good cause, which is RNLI, you know, the Sligo Bay Lifeboat, who... If you're unlucky enough to be in trouble as a surfer in the water, you can bet that they'll be with you within 10 minutes. They do a super, super, super job for us and anybody else in the water. But they're also 100% voluntary, so they need all the help they can get. So I'm delighted to be able to help them afterwards.
When was the last time you had a surf?
I was surfing this morning, 7 a.m. I knew the waves would be good, and they were. So, yeah, I was in there for about 2 hours.
Can't keep the photographer out of the water.
No, on a day off or on an early morning surf. Early morning surfs are always the best. And there's a quieter vibe. It's just nice. Nice way to start the day. I'm usually in there. I'm lucky enough to have a view of the water from my house. So I've no excuse.
Photographer Mark Capilitan. And the Strandhill Surf Folk exhibition is open to the public now. The exhibition runs until the 28th of June.